Hello and welcome to WNCW's new music podcast, On the Way Up. I'm your host, Joe Kendrick. Well, it has been a while, and a lot has happened since episode 35. Months have happened since our last time bringing you this podcast, so I'll fill you in on what has been going on. Musically, in this episode, we go back over some of the most played songs on WNCW for the first 10 months of 2018, as we are almost set to begin voting for the top releases of the year in making our top 100. That voting will begin after Thanksgiving. Plus, in our DJ for a Day segment, we welcome our new audio engineer, Sean Rubin, who joined our staff right about the time that we went radio silence over here. So, as you may know, our beloved midday host and Rhythm Theorem host, Scotty Robertson, left WNCW last April. I took up the midday hosting duties from that point on until Joe Green was eventually hired and began hosting middays in September. Now, he was already our bluegrass host Saturdays on Going Across the Mountain, so to give him a regular five-day schedule, I kept Monday middays on the air. Got it? There will be a quiz later. While I was on the air full-time those months, I simply did not have the time to keep up with On the Way Up. It may be surprising to find out that these podcasts take about a full day to produce, but it's true, and with all the airtime and then producing crowd around the mic and getting through our fall fun drive, I let this podcast lay fallow. But now, it's back, and I hope to be able to keep it going on something close to, if not a fully regular basis, going forward. Onward to the music we go. We just ran the reports of our playlists for January through October of this year and tabulated the spin counts for all of the many thousands of artists, songs, and releases. Fun fact, we reported, and that's not everything because there are some shows that do not get all of their playlists reported every time, we posted 81,916 songs in these 10 months and 34,481 different songs. That's a lot of variety. With this data, we get a better picture of what is really the most popular music played on WNCW, and in this episode, we highlight a number of those most played songs. Some of those have been featured in On the Way Up already, including It's a Shame by First Aid Kit, which is on episode 33, Drumbeats on the Watchtower by Peter Rowan, found on episode 34, Everyone's a Winner by Ty Segall in our first podcast of the year, episode 30, Under the Wheels by Calexico in episode 32, Let Me Out of This Town by Steep Canyon Rangers, heard on episode 31, Kindness of Strangers by Courtney Marie Andrews from episode 35. So in just about, but not quite all 3 months that On the Way Up was in production at the beginning of 2018, you heard 6 out of our top 15 most played songs of the year. That top 15 also includes 2 songs that are theme songs for our shows, The Gospel Truth and Country Gold, so this really is more like 6 out of the top 13. We're batting pretty far above the Mendoza line there, I'd say. Let's get to some more of the songs that are in the so far top 20 list of 2018 and begin the music with this, Paul Cawthon's Resignation.
Resignation, my resignation from the space station. I gotta get out before they let me go. Before they let me go, whoa, whoa. Inebriation, my intoxication, needed medication. I gotta get out before they let me go. Before they let me go, whoa, whoa. Then I caught a cold in the night. It took me to a place I swore I'd die. Now I'm feeling so much better living in this weather. I'm getting greener, yeah, I'm getting right. I'm getting by, I'm getting by. Now life is so much better. I'm handing in this letter. I'm begging for this kind of life. I wish that they'd accept my resignation. Say I'm crazy, boy, they say I'm lazy. I better hit up Daisy and head to the Last Call Tavern tonight. Oh, tavern tonight, yite, yite. Emancipation, my proclamation. Hop up in this Lincoln, we'll head to the Last Call Tavern tonight. Last Call Tavern tonight, yite, yite.
swore I'd die. Now I'm feeling so much better. I'm living in this weather. I'm getting greener, yeah, I'm getting right. I'm getting by, I'm getting by. Now life is so much better. I'm handing in this letter. I'm begging for this kind of life. I wish I could accept my resignation. Capitulation, don't attack the nation. Hand in your resignation and head to the Last Call Tavern tonight. Last Call Tavern tonight. A resignation, my resignation from the space station. Head to the Last Call Tavern tonight. The Last Call Tavern tonight. Resignation.
If you're gonna tell them everything, tell them I'm a good kisser. Tell them all the things you told me in your desperate whisper. If you're gonna tell them everything, don't leave out the good part. Tell them the way that you broke my heart when you told me that you missed her. Gonna tell them everything. Tell them I'm a good kisser. Tell them all the things you told me in your desperate whisper. If you're gonna tell them everything, don't leave out the good part. Tell them the way that you broke my heart when you told me that you missed her. Tell them I'm a good kisser.
Lake Street Dive started to hit it really big this year with their seventh release in a little over a decade, Free Yourself Up. And they have a forthcoming EP, Freak Yourself Out, just about to land online and on store shelves. That was Good Kisser, one of the many compositions by band member Bridget Kearney. Ahead of that, a song that is about 20 years old, but has just now come to light. Beth Orton and the Chemical Brothers, I Never Asked to Be Your Mountain. It's a Tim Buckley cover, released on Beth's own label, Lost Leaves. She recorded it around the time that she made her highly celebrated Central Reservation album. At the top, Paul Cawthon, with the song we fell in love with right away when we first heard it back in May, Resignation, from his Have Mercy EP. Paul Cawthon is from Tyler, Texas, and we played him here before on his solo full-length debut a couple of years ago, and before that, in his former group, Sons of Fathers. Here's a song that was an earworm for me from the first time I heard it, the group Motel Mirrors, and Things I Learned.
One, two, three, four. Swing on the dance floor. I can't without bitching. I can watch without flinching. I've been a block or two. These things I learned without you. But there's one thing I didn't know till you took my hand and you told me so.
Happiness, joy. I'm not sick. I'm not alone.
So aren't you bored with your quiet voice and impeccable style? Don't ever let them steal your joy and your gentle ways to keep them from running wild. They can kick dirt in your face, dress you down and tell you that your place is in the middle, when they hate the way you shine. I see you tugging on your shirt, trying to hide inside of it and hide how much it hurts. Let them discouraged, don't you, girl? It's your brother's world for a while longer. You gotta dance with the devil on a river to beat the stream. Call it living the dream. Call it kicking the ladder. They come to kick dirt in your face, to call you weak and then you have to carry in your baby on your back across the desert. I saw your eyes behind your hair, and you're looking tired, but you don't look scared.
Brandi Carlile, who shows her vocal power on The Joke from By the Way I Forgive You. Co-producer Dave Cobb encouraged Carlile to really let go and push her singing all the way to 11 on this album, which, like you could guess, has themes of forgiveness running throughout. Shooter Jennings joined Cobb in production duties, and Scott Avett of the Avett Brothers painted Carlile in the cover art. Chris and Oliver Wood, along with Jenna Ricks, are the Wood Brothers. And they've been on WNCW airwaves since their inception, and even before that, since we played King Johnson and Medeski, Martin, and Wood before Chris and Oliver teamed up with Jeno for their 2006 Wood Brothers debut, Ways Not to Lose. This time around, they produced a record themselves, but also used several different engineers and recorded in different locations for One Drop of Truth, their sixth album. That was Happiness Jones. I featured Sky High from this record on episode 32 of On the Way Up. We began with the song Things I've Learned by Memphis-based group Motel Mirrors from their album In the Meantime. Amy Levere is on lead vocals for that song and is joined by John Paul Keith, Will Sexton, and Sean Zorn in the band. This record is chock full of retro rock and roll and country influence, and there are a number of standouts. That song followed the old rule of never releasing singles over 3 minutes long, and the longest tune on this disc is just a shade over 4 minutes. This will likely be in my top 10 of the year. What will your top 10 picks be? We encourage you to weigh in on our website at wncw.org to help us calculate our overall top 100 of 2018 by giving us your top 10 releases. Voting will begin just after Thanksgiving and continue into early December. Up next, DJ for a Day with our engineer, Sean Rubin. Here we are on DJ for a Day. It's WNCW with Sean Rubin, our new audio engineer. Sean, it's been a long time coming. We were very, very glad to see you walk through the door finally in March of 2018. Tell us a little bit about yourself, what you've been up to.
Oh, thanks, Joe. Well, I come from Florida. I've been an audio engineer for about 28 years now. This opportunity was something I was looking forward to. My wife and I were looking to move up to North Carolina for several years now. And when I saw this opened up, I took a chance and rolled the dice, as they so say. And, you guys hired me on here. I came into an interesting situation here where we had to get the crowd around the mic done in 4.5 months. I also had to learn the ropes of WNCW at the same time. So it was a very interesting situation, but we handled it pretty well. I like the challenge. I love the music groups that I worked with, and the people here that I've come to enjoy as my work family have been great. And it's made the situation that much more easy to get into.
Audio engineering is a rich and wide-ranging world. The place that you operate in, it's very deep. Not all audio engineers are the same. You came from Full Sail University in Florida. And what you were doing there, you did a lot of the same things that you're doing at WNCW, but this one, this place is, of course, it's going to be a little bit different. Tell us a little bit about how these different audio engineers, what kinds of engineers are out there, and how do you put yourself in that company?
Well, in the engineering world for audio, there are people who will specialize in either a type of music or a type of engineering, whether it be in the studio, live sound, or audio post, which is sound for pictures. And then there are people who will try to, in today's world, we've grown out to doing a little bit of everything. I've centered my career around being in the studio, but I've always taken on live sound as extra work and got into doing shows at the beginning of my career, so I was able to advance in both live and in the studio. Dabbled in post, working for a couple ad agencies over my career, doing stuff for audio for radio and television, a little bit of corporate film. So you'll have either guys that will do everything, or you'll have guys that will centralize and do just one thing and not branch out too much. So, and of course, in today's world, you got now people specializing in just computer audio for internet or for video games or other types of new technologies that keep emerging. So, with coming from Full Sail, I was there for 6 years. It was my alma mater. I graduated from Full Sail in October of 1992. I started working as an engineer while I was a student there. I got lucky, got hired on by a live sound company, and was a front of house guy right off the bat just because I kind of had the ability to mix at that beginning age. I was 19. And I just expanded it from there. I went out, started with my first album right out of the bat at school. Spent a year working for a studio in Orlando as a kind of a freelancer, as an engineer, just because the people I knew there said, hey, you're kind of okay with this. We'll let you do the smaller jobs. Got advanced into being head engineer at a studio in town in Orlando, and then kind of my career grew from there. Going back to Full Sail, teach for a little while and still and be teach recording engineering and session recording and mixing. It was more of a lifestyle change, you know, with having a family and when the economy took a little bit of a turn for a while there from 2010, 2011. It was a, hey, I'm going to do this because I'm, you know, responsible type thing. I still had it in my blood to be the man in the chair and doing the job. It was just a slight course correction for a little while. But my heart was always been in the position of being behind the board and in the chair. And like I said, when the opportunity showed itself to come up here, I jumped on it.
You came of age in the beginning of the modern era of the way that music is produced digitally. So compression, dynamic range, from the early 90s onward, that went to where we are now, where everything is pretty much squashed. All of the music that is modern day music, it doesn't look anything, when you look at it on a waveform, it doesn't look anything like what old music looked like. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I kind of want to say I got a little lucky with that. I came up having some mentors who were old school guys who worked in some major studios, Criteria being one of them, throughout the 70s. And they both took me aside and taught me a lot of the old school philosophies on getting things to sound good. But at the same time, I was at the beginning of the onset of modern technology with the kind of the infancy of DAW recording, digital audio workstations, and computer-based recording. So I came up, got my teeth cut on multi-tracks with 24-track machines, analog, half-inch, quarter-inch machines, and transferred that over to digital recording. I never kind of jumped onto the whole over-compression thing and over-limited thing. That's kind of the pseudo-loudness wars that happened, where everybody wanted everything as loud and big as possible. I do it if my client asks me to. But I kind of like to take, I kind of broke that down into multiple steps now. Something I've been working on for several years and several higher end producers do is we'll compress in stages so that you can get a big sound, but keep the dynamic range still viable so that the mix has a depth to it and the recording has air and clarity to it with a lot of that same punch without making it look like a sine wave when you look at the waves on a computer screen.
Can you give us any fun stories about being in the studio? Any highlights? Any sort of low moments?
Well, let's see if I can keep it PG-13 here. you know, I've been around some major acts in the past. Had the luxury of being in on a session with Days of the New for their Red album. Got to meet some of the guys from Smash Mouth. Got to meet some of the guys from 7 Mary 3 and did some work with the bass player and the lead singer on a side project. I would say that some of the high points were just getting the opportunity to learn from people who have been successful already. And a lot of those people accepting what I was doing as, hey, that's pretty good. We really like it. And that kind of helped grow my confidence level to where it is today, where it's like, okay, I can walk into anything with my head up going, yeah, this is no problem. We can do it. On the low side of it, learning pretty quickly that on a large scale project, the people that have the name and recognition will take all the credit and that the politics behind that suck. Hmm. No matter how much hard work you do, no matter what you do to make something worthwhile, someone else who just because they have the name will walk away with it. That and there's been a couple of, in my career, two bigger projects that myself and one of my mentors have worked on for months at the end. And all of a sudden, when the time came to pay the bill, everybody, including the label, walked away and said, yeah, no, we're not doing it. So those are low spots where you put in, you know, 6 months of work and you're expecting your outcome and a paycheck, even on a contract, and it doesn't happen. And you kind of learn real quick, oh, wow, that piece of paper that they signed isn't worth anything.
Well, we're just glad you can make the big bucks in public radio now, Sean.
Well, you know, I've had this philosophy that talked to me throughout my career that has kind of helped keep a level head at least the past 20 years, was that it really comes out to being more important to me about the credit on the project and how everybody takes it versus getting that absolute big payday. Money comes along. It's not the end of the world. But achieving something that everybody likes, that's a little bit more important to me.
Hear, hear. So some of the neat things that we've been doing that we didn't do before you came along, we go on the road now, And that's been a learning experience for everyone. We actually did produce some sessions on the road outside of Studio B before you were our engineer, but we didn't have an engineer. We used whatever in-house front of house guy or the band's engineer to do those sessions. And so there was this huge range of audio quality in what we wound up with. Now we've got you on the road, but it's been kind of a trick to be able to get all of the people on the other end on the same page at times.
Yeah. I'll tell you the truth, when we were interviewing back in December of last year, you had actually formulated a question to me about, hey, if we go on the road, how would you handle recording a live situation? And I gave you an answer and I gave you a couple options because my brain was already ticking. And I'll tell you, from that moment on, the drive back to Orlando, my brain's going, golly, there's so many things we could make them do to bring them to that next level so that this stuff can all be done correctly. And it's actually really cool that I'm actually implementing that now because I'm here as your engineer. Some of the things we've changed was the fact that with technology, we were able to take a laptop on the road with us now and have a multi-track recording session of the live performance that's going on. So not only is it just we're no longer just picking up a two-track off the console that the house engineer is doing, we were able to take an out from that and have a multi-track, bring it back to Studio B here and remix it properly so it sounds like the real deal. And on top of that, now I've been looking up and exploring and getting the people, management team here to understand, and they are on board with it. We're going in the next couple weeks with the pre-jam going to be our first attempt at it. We are going to now be able to take a copy of the input from the live consoles in front of house and do an actual radio mix over the air properly, so that now we won't even be second guessing the mix going out over the air. It's going to be exactly what we want to, and actually make it sound pretty close to what we do live in Studio B, so that we have a consistency across the board for the quality of the audio that we're putting out.
Yeah, and I can't say enough for being able to get to this place, because this is a lot of tech speak and your eyes may glaze over a little bit when you hear all of this, but it's a big deal, and it's really great to be able to have their front of house engineer mix it for the room, because that's what they were doing before. They were mixing it for the room, but then putting that on the radio doesn't sound nearly as good as it does in the room. But what we can do now is we can have both.
Yeah, it's going to be a really good advancement. What I've been doing up until this point, though, is actually having the front of house guys give me what's called an aux mix. There are separate outputs on a live sound console or even a studio console, per se, where I can build a secondary mix. I'll monitor that real quick on a headphones. And there's been an improvement in what we've have since I've started doing that versus what you guys were doing beforehand. The limitation on that is I can't go in the middle of him mixing and go, hey, grab that and turn that down. I am kind of stuck with what we've preset. And so now what we're going to be able to do is say, oh, you know what? I don't even have to bother him. It's just one cable from his console to my console. And we're making this mix out there. I want less reverb. I want more drums. I want less this, more that. We've got it. We can EQ it a little differently. We can compress it a little differently and give it the glaze that we need to have it sound on the air from location that's going to be similar to the sound that we have coming out of Studio B.
And we've got some neat new toys in Studio B, which is another great new thing since you've come along. We've gotten the digital console, so we're all in a digital environment, and for example, the artists, when they come in and do a session, they've got their own mix they can create themselves, so they don't have to have you do everything for them or only give them a limited number of mixes. They've got that control themselves. I think the results speak for themselves when you listen to Crowd Around the Mic Volume 22 and when you listen to live sessions in Studio B. I think we're in the best spot that we've ever been in, honestly.
Well, it amazed me that when February, when my wife and my son and I came up, we were looking at houses and looking how to, get our life started up here in North Carolina. When we walked in that day after I'd gone down to the offices, and you and Dave and I were sitting in there, and you guys both looked at me and said, okay, what do you need to make yourself comfortable? What do we need to do to make this work? And I said, I'll make a list. And Dave said, get it done. And I was like, okay, well, at least these guys are on board. We can make things happen, and we can kind of pull the station and the studio up out of where it was to where it needs to be. The stuff that was in there wasn't bad, but it was dated technology. It wasn't new. It wasn't the latest or greatest. And it was definitely worn. We went through a period of waiting for that new gear to come in. We went through a period where the console that was in there crapped out in the last 30 seconds of a broadcast.
Love that.
That was awesome. I mean, literally just nothing. And so, you know, in talking with Dave and Kester about which way we wanted to go with the station and making changes for the future, rather than putting another analog board in there, we thought, hey, you know what? If the on-air is going digital, let's make the studio go digital so everything talks to each other a lot better. And I said, we looked it up and said, sure, we can do this. It's pretty easy. So we did that with the help of Behringer and their X32 console. We upgraded to a full-on Pro Tools HD rig so that not only is our multi-track capability of capturing, but editing and mixing is a lot higher end. I brought with me a bunch of my personal mix toys that I use in Pro Tools, ways of making virtual mix consoles so that, you know, if I want to mix on a virtual SSL or mix on a virtual Neve, all I have to do is open up my setup and bam, now I'm getting that feel of that of those older style analog consoles. It's not 100%, but it's close enough that it makes a difference in what we're doing. And then, you know, we're replacing some of our microphones. We're updating our capabilities in recording that way. Like you said, with the P16 personal mixers, artists come in, they have everything labeled on the box. I preset it. They can just go in and turn things up and down as they see fit. Even in the middle of a session, they don't even have to look at me. They can keep concentrating, go to the box. Oh, I need more vocal. They're done. It really makes for a much smoother operation and makes everything much more comfortable. And the sound quality that they get in their headphones is not only just stereo, but it's real clean. It's very pretty. And it helps the artist to relax and perform better, which is a really good thing for the people that come in here because we get, you know, we'll either get very experienced people who can knock it out of the park with little or no help, or people who are a little bit more intimidated by what's going on. And once they're more comfortable by the fact that they can hear properly, they're like, oh, and they relax into it. It makes the sessions go a lot more smoother.
Sean, I'm very glad to have you here at WNCW.
Well, thank you, Joe. I really love being here. You guys are wonderful to work with. You know, they're like I said, you guys have become my work family. We can joke around, we have fun, we talk about stuff, but we all get it, and we put our heads down, and we get the work done and make it happen for our fan base and listeners out there.
We continue our countdown of sorts with an artist who has two top 20 entries so far in 2018, Courtney Barnett.
Nico Case had a rough stretch leading up to the release of her 2018 album, Hell On. Her house burned down, she was plagued by a stalker, and then a journalist gave out her address and named her in the story about the house fire, so it's no surprise to hear a line like, "So I died and went to work," in that song, Bad Luck. Nico brought in collaborators Katie Lang and Laura Veers for some of the songs here after they released their well-received Case Lang Veers album in 2016. Ahead of that, another artist with two songs represented in our top 20, Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats. That was A Little Honey from Tearing at the Seams. Rateliff follows up on the Night Sweats' debut from 2015 with a collection of songs that captures much of the explosive live energy of the band. With their song You Worry Me also making it into our countdown, I can safely predict that this album will make it high up into our top 100 come next month, probably top 10 or at least top 20. Again, you get to help us determine these things, so we hope to hear from you, assuming you aren't picking your own band in your own top 10. that's probably not going to disqualify you, though, and I'm sure it's been done many times before. We began with Australian Courtney Barnett, who became a worldwide sensation with her debut, Sometimes I Sit and Think and Sometimes I Just Sit. This year, she followed it up with an even stronger disc in my mind called Tell Me How You Really Feel. Like Nathaniel Rateliff, Barnett also has two songs in this collection of top 20 most played tunes so far this year. The other is Nameless Faceless. Now, not all of the reviews of the sophomore record were glowing, but it really resonated with me and with most all WNCW listeners, it seems. Well, that's our show. Thanks for being here. Please support the artists you enjoy hearing on WNCW's new music podcast, On the Way Up, and we invite you to support listener-powered radio, too. Feel free to drop me a line by email to joek@wncw.org, and you can also find me on Twitter at WNCWJoe. Oh, and WNCW is now on Spotify, too, so check us out there. I'm your host, Joe Kendrick. It's an honor and a pleasure to bring you this episode. Our theme song from Eliza Lynn takes us away.
Sing a new song in the rain. Sing a new song till the drops coming down. Sing a new song. Sing a new song where the sky meets the ground.